Ephesians 1:16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. To the God of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Having your eyes and the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. And what is the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his great power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. That he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things. And that he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Which, by the way, it doesn't say by the way, but it is, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We have come to a new age, which means we have left an age. An age has passed, and a new age has come. The Lord speaks in various and different scriptures talking about the end of the age. And we have the tendency to always think that it means we're leaving here. But I'm going to tell you something. And it's not important how popular this is. It's just important that it's true. We're not leaving anywhere soon. And you should be excited about that. We are called the planting of the Lord. But we are pulling the heavens of God down, that I can tell you. We are seeing the glory of God manifest in the earth just like he said. God has not chosen that we leave right now. He has chosen that we remain. We have come to the end of an age. And we are beginning a new age. If you're old, God will renew you. If you're young, he will give you wisdom. We're going to fulfill the scriptures. That's why we're here. Why are we here? To seek God. To love him with all of our heart. And to fulfill his word. To be the fullness of all that he has called us to be. We just read what God's mind is towards us and what Paul's heart was. He said, I don't stop giving thanks for you. And I don't stop being grateful and thankful for the glory of God and the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have come to the end of an age, a new era, a new age has begun. And the word says not only of that age back then, but also of this age which is to come. And this is a new age. And you should be excited about it. If you believe the word of the Lord, that he will renew you, that he will strengthen you, that he will uphold you, that he will lift you up, that you will bear fruit in your old age, that you'll mount up with wings as eagles, you'll run and not be weary, you'll walk and not faint. God is calling to a people that actually believe what he said is true. And your age, your time, your body, your mind cannot refrain from believing nor restrain him from doing. He will do what he has said, and he looks for someone who believes that what he said he will do, and you say, send me, Lord. Send me. Believers are not those that look for someone else. David didn't look for someone else. to give Israel the victory and awaken them to the reality that they were the armies of God. He didn't wait for anyone to confirm that. He just stood up, walked forward, ran forward, and said, "This is the day. The Lord is for me. And I come in the name of the Lord." We use Jesus' name all the time. We pray a prayer and we say, "In the name of Jesus." Are you? Do you believe you are in His identity? Do you believe you are predestined? God is no respecter of persons, so He didn't just pick out a few folks. That's not what the Scriptures mean when it says many are called, few chosen. God spoke to us, and He spoke to the disciples. He said, "Go tell everybody in the world that it is not my will that any should perish, that anyone should perish. No one. But that all should have everlasting life." That's God's will for you. That everyone has everlasting life. That should be encouraging to the non-believer. That should be encouraging to the believer. To the ones that are struggling. I'm telling you, we have come to the end of an age. And in God there is no end. Always and only a new beginning. And we are the age of a new beginning. I'll say it boldly, 2026 has marked the season of a new seed, a new beginning, a great and glorious opportunity. You know, when David overcame Goliath, Israel took advantage of that opportunity, stood up and declared the victory of the Lord, and God gave it to them. Will you do it in this age? Will you stand up and say, "God has given us victory over the nations"? Remember, the kingdoms of men have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. Do you know that? Do you know that Jesus reigns and rules? Do you know the Lord of glory is God? There is no leader that is God. Only God is God. And we are the instruments of His doing. And we have to believe in who He is. The Word said here, the revelation, the Spirit of revelation. Paul is saying, "I'm praying without ceasing for you, that you gain the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." The spirit of David is rising up. The spirit of Caleb and Joshua is rising up in the earth. And I'm looking for seed. I'm looking for what God is looking for. I'm looking for seed that is going to bear much fruit in the earth. A harvest that Christ is able to indwell. A harvest that Christ is able to cut and store in His barns. What does that mean? We're going to feed the nations. We are called the planting of the Lord. Predestination is not God picking and choosing. Predestination is what God did before the beginning of the world. When He said, "Before the foundation of the world, He destined us through Christ that we would be the fruit of His will." And that's today. Today is a celebratory day. Today is a day of rejoicing and glorifying and praising God. This is the day, the Scriptures say. This is the day that God has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. That day is literally referencing Christ. And today we should be saying, "This is the day that God has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." You have to assign yourself as David assigned himself, as Daniel assigned himself, as Elijah assigned himself, as Moses assigned himself. God called them, but they had to stand up and say, "This is my assignment. This is what God has said. This is who I am, and this is what I'm going to do." And if you don't see it, someone around you will. If you're not the David that stands up and says, "The Lord is on our side. God is for us and not against us," then someone around you will. Someone around you knows It may be a brand new believer. It may be someone that will embarrass others that should have known what time this is. We are supposed to be able to discern the times and the seasons. And that requires knowing the character of God. And that only comes through prayer. And listening to what the Holy Spirit has to say. Otherwise, all the signs around you will deceive you. And we've been warned about that. Don't lose heart. Don't be afraid. Look up. And today is that day. What you have prayed for is coming to pass today. What you have sought God for is coming to pass today. You may have thought it was going to look different. You may have thought it was going to sound different. You may have thought it may turn out different, but this is the day that God has made, and God is doing a new thing in the earth. You should praise God. You are a part of a new age. You are part of a new generation. Jesus not only redeemed us from the seed we had sown in the past, but he destined us to be the seed of the future of his kingdom. It's wonderful to thank God for what he's redeemed you from. But what did he redeem you into? Because that's the point. Redemption is about taking you somewhere and not just saying, you're forgiven. God is a loving God and he forgives, but what he has done and what he's doing in the earth today is most important. And I urge you, as Paul did, I don't stop praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to fall on the earth. And for you to awaken to what is going on in the earth so you can be a part of it, so you can celebrate it, so you can glorify God in it, so you can tell others and testify to what God is doing in the earth. We've talked quite a bit about it here, and I'm saying it again today. The kingdom of God is growing up out of the earth. What shall I liken the kingdom of God to? He said. And for the greater part, every time he did, he likened it unto himself, sowing you, which is seed, in the soil which he called the earth. What shall I liken the kingdom of God to? It is like a mustard seed sown in the earth. And it grows up and is the largest of seeds in the garden. You are the dominating plants that God has sown in his garden. The first thing God did when he planted the garden and sent man into it was he planted a garden. He planted a garden. God likes seed. Jesus is a seed of promise. Abraham was blessed through the prophecy of a seed. Do you know who you are? If you don't, let me tell you, you are the planting of the Lord. You're alive today. You didn't have an Elijah experience. You didn't have an Enoch experience because God was not willing to uproot you. He planted you in the earth to bring forth the seed of his kingdom to bear witness to who he is. And regardless of what you've been through, you are still here. And you should rejoice. We wake up every morning glad we're alive. But why are we alive? Why do we live and move and have this being? Why? Why are we here? What's the point? Has to be a point. Running around doing ministry is wonderful. But what are you saying? What are you seeing? What are you singing? Is it revelation? The word says it. Revelation says it. Guys, Christ is all about revelation. Prophecy is all about revelation. I am prophesying to you today as a prophet. This is the hour of the Lord. This is the coming of the yield of God from the seed that He has sown in the earth. You may say these are trying times. Well, the Word says we would enter into trying times. We, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And if you're afraid of tribulation, don't be. You've been living in it for a long time. It's not so bad. This is a good thing. The greatest transformations, revolutions have come out of trying times when God put His seasoned people in a position and say, watch my glory. He did it in the wilderness with Moses, a man that just said, I'm just not the guy. I just don't have what it takes to do what you're asking me to do. And if you feel that way, it's okay as long as you do it anyway. We have come and are coming out of a church age that in many respects have been far more religious than it has been revelatory. They have it down pretty well. It's a pretty good business plan. It's pretty effective. It's able to draw in the masses. It raises a great sum of revenue. It's very proficient and very consistent. But do we know why we're here? Do we know who we are? Do you know who you are? See, Moses had to know who he was. And that's what God had to get through to Moses. This is who you are. You're the one I've chosen. That's who you are. And you're the one I'll speak through. That's what I'll do. And you're the one through whom I will deliver my people. That's what you are going to be. My voice in Egypt and my voice in the wilderness and my voice that instructs the people how to enter Canaan. When they marched around Canaan and the walls fell down, that was the end of an age. And the beginning of a new. When the flood came, that was an end of an age. And the beginning of a new. When Jesus came, that was the end of an age. And the beginning of a new. And He spoke then and He said, you're coming to an end of an age. But it's the beginning of a new. This is the beginning of a new age. And you should be encouraged. You should be excited. You know why? God's going to make you an example. There are going to be men and women that grow old into age, 100+, with strength, declaring the glory and the word of the Lord and loving the life God has given them because God said, I'll strengthen you even your old age. I mean, some guy way back when had that revelation. What was his name? Anybody remember? In my 80s, I'm able to do. In my 80s, I'm able to do. What I could not do. Why? Because the Word says there was a different spirit in him. There's a different spirit. You know, I know today, in today's age, and all the demon spirits that we like to talk about, there's a different spirit you should talk about. It's a greater spirit. It's Holy Spirit. That's what you should be talking about. What is Holy Spirit saying to me today? What is Holy Spirit revealing to me today? What does Holy Spirit want me to know today? What is Holy Spirit doing today? He's not just a Holy Spirit. He is Holy Spirit. There isn't another one. He is Holy Spirit, God divine, God manifest, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the unity, the Trinity of God. And Jesus said, I'm not leaving you comfortless. I'm sending my spirit into you. God expects us to be believing him that he is God. We shouldn't act, pray, talk, or believe like we are in trouble because we are not. The Lord has delivered you. The Lord has set you free. The battle is His. The victory He's given to you. We are to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's what we are to do. What we have is a promise. And you know the most important element to a promise? Does anyone in here know? Most important element to a promise. What would you think most valuable about a promise? It's remembered. A promise not remembered isn't much of a promise. God remembers the promise He made to Abraham, and He remembers that promise that He made to Abraham. He wasn't talking to seeds as many, but one, which is Christ, and Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus, He who fills all in all. And how does the word, how do we just read He's going to do it? He's going to do it through the body. Do you get it? Do you get it? I see the minds of a generation turning into more of a priesthood unto God, coming before the Lord with an offering of praise and thanksgiving instead of fighting and worrying and down on our knees trying to fight a battle that doesn't even exist, only in the minds of non-believers and the intentions of someone that would love you to believe that's true. Jesus said, don't be afraid, don't be overcome of fear, because it's the only weapon any enemy has against you. It's it. And if you lose that, there are no weapons. Trust in the Lord. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways, all the time, every day, acknowledge Him and Him alone, and He will direct your path. God will direct your path, but you have to pay attention to the instructions. And you can't do that if your mind is in a different place other than where it should be. This is a day God has made. We are the planting of the Lord. And what did He call us? He said, you are the seeds of the kingdom. A sower went out to sow. When a sower sows, when a farmer sows his seed, his intentions are that every single seed he sows. He knows there will be some that won't, but his intention to every single seed is that it grows. Every seed, every seed, every seed. It doesn't matter how many he plants. Every seed, his intention is that it grows. When God sowed you in the earth, his intention was that you would grow. He says that, speaking of the kingdom, he said, the kingdom of God, again, is like a man that sowed his field with good seed. Okay? Listen to what it says. The kingdom of God is like a man who sowed good seed. That's the kingdom of God. Fit and finish. Done. He says, but an enemy, and I know you all want to scream out, devil, go ahead. It really doesn't make any difference. An enemy came. They used to do that in the Old Testament. If they wanted to destroy your crop, they'd either put rocks in it or they'd sow weeds in it so you didn't produce as much. It was a form of war. And he said, and a sower went and sowed wheat or tares in the field. And the guy that watched over the field came to the Lord of the field and said, hey, I know you sowed good seed. Are you hearing it? I know you sowed only good seed. God sowed what? Only. So he says, so I see it's growing up. I know that they are tares because that's my job. But it's not evident to everyone else. Should we go ahead and rip them out so they don't grow up with the wheat? And what did Jesus say? What did God say? No. Negative. Leave them alone. Let them grow up together. We are in that incredible season of time, and the important thing is what this is about. God said, I am going to harvest. He said, I am the harvester. Leave it alone. When it's time, I'll do the separating. When it's time, I'll do it. All I want the wheat to do is grow up and become mature, and I'm going to bring it into my barns. When seed grows up out of the earth, it disrupts the soil around it. I've watched it. I've watched it in slow-mo. It's pretty amazing. And seeds, again, since they come from the Father, as all things do, is they're component of a triad, three different things. It's a coat or a cloak, the shell, the embryo, the life, the promise, and a storehouse, food supply, all in this little seed. And the seed is dormant until it's dropped into the ground, it's buried, and it's watered. How many know what that represents? Baptism. We die in Christ, and then we're resurrected in His likeness. When a seed dies, it's resurrected in the likeness of its creator, the image, the tree. God made it that way. He said the seed is in the fruit itself. It's in the tree. The seed is there. Eternity is there. Eternity is on the inside of you. Some of you will... I see people living much longer because they know they can. They don't believe in getting old. They just believe in growing strong. According to your faith, be it unto you. Caleb did it. He said, I can do now at 80, 85 what I could have done at 40. I've seen some people at 40. I know a lot of people that can do at 85 what they can't do at 40. What is your true perception of who you are in the earth? You should know that you are a seed of the kingdom of God. And you know what's amazing about the kingdom of God? It rules. The kingdom of God rules. Instead of making our presentation of those that are afraid and timid, and what do your prayers sound like? God help us, God save us, God deliver us, God protect us, or God, to God be the glory, the honor, the praise, and the power. We are seeds of your kingdom. Be glorified in and through us. Let me bear witness to your glory and your spirit and your wonder and your power. Let me grow in strength and wisdom and knowledge. Let people see me as the kingdom of God that you planted me to be. Let me bear witness to who you are. I am not my own. I belong to you. I am the planting of the Lord. We are trees of righteousness, the planting of God. We will not be moved, whether winter, spring, summer or fall, a lot of water, no water, it doesn't matter, because we are the embryo. We are the planting of the word of the Lord. We have everything we need. We have the shield to protect. We have the promise of life. We have all supply, everything in all sufficiency. I have given you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called you to glory and virtue. Running from one place to another, trying to sustain yourself is not the answer. You're running away from your soul. Maybe if I go here, God will do it. God can do right where you are what he wants to do. But if you think your movement's doing, going, acting differently in order to try and gain favor somewhere outside of God is no different than going to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and trying to get something from that tree. Where you know God is speaking, where you know God has planted you, remain. See, the first thing that a seed does when it dies to itself is it begins to express its life. And the first thing it does is grab soil. You know what that means? I'm staying right here. The word says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does that happen? I just know who Christ in me is. I know the nature of God. You can't get there without seeking God for his will. You must pray. Believers pray. And we pray a lot. And we don't pray because we're in trouble. We pray because we're in relationship with the Father. And I just want to know what he has to say. I want to tell him that I am aware that he is here, because it goes both ways. The power of a promise is its memory. To remember. Do you remember? Do you remember? The word says when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to remind you. You know what reminds you of who you are? The Holy Spirit. He said, seek me and I'll be found. Call on me and I will answer you. How much of your prayer and your relationship with God is one of self-survival as opposed to glorifying God? We are worshipers. We're created to worship God and to seek His kingdom. And He said, when you do that, I'll take care of everything else. I'll take the weight and the load off of you. I will bless you. God said, I will make you a kingdom and priests unto the nations of the earth, and they're going to call you blessed. There will be a righteous fear in the earth of the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Because when you grow up out of the earth, people see your wisdom. I pray for you continually for the spirit of wisdom. They see and hear your revelation. And they will give you the same honor as they did when Jesus spoke. And they said, man, who is this that such wisdom is coming out of him? I mean, his parents, these are his parents. This is where he came from. This is where he's born. Who is this? Jesus said, the words I speak, they're not my own, but my Father's who sent me. I have come here to declare the kingdom of God is at hand. What will I liken it to? What will it be like? You're saying, show me here, show me there. He said, no, let me tell you what it's like. It's like a seed, a mustard seed that was planted in the earth. It's like a pearl that was hidden in the earth. It's like a field that a guy knew this is valuable. It's like a seed sown. It's like a sower that went out to sow seed. How many times do we need to hear it? The kingdom of God isn't falling out of the sky. It's growing up out of the earth, just like he said. And that is what he will harvest to his glory and bring into his presence. We grab this robe because I'm pulling on heaven. What we say here affects heaven. The Lord says, hey, we think it's just a prayer. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loose. No, it's not a prayer. It's a life. It's who you are. How we stand and decree and believe the Lord as we're doing now. Heaven is very responsive because it's not my word. Heaven responds to the word of God. Why would it seem so strange that we would move heaven and earth? That's what we're called to do. Till heaven and earth unite, they come together. Pray that the kingdom God would come, and I plant it in the earth. That's in you. You are the seed of that kingdom. Pray it would come, and that it would be done in you just as it is done in heaven. That was what Jesus said to prayer. It's the prayer he said to pray. To believe that we are attached to heaven, that the kingdom of God is as much a part of us as any other part that we are. We are a triad of reality. We have a cloak, we have a coat, we have a shield. But like blind Bartimaeus, at some point you have to throw it off and say, I don't need a representation for my blindness. I need faith to stand me up and declare, here I am, Lord. Jesus, thou son of David, give me my sight. I pray for this generation today. I pray for the earth today that God would give you sight of him, that you would see him in his glory. Just as the prophet said, there are more with us than there are with them. What are you afraid of? God, open their blind eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. And as soon as he did, God was able to lead them captive. I'm telling you, there is a mass revival about to take place in the earth. People are going to be saved all over the nations. Nations that have claimed and been known to be ungodly will fall on their knees. They will fall on their face. They will worship God. Some of the greatest revivals that we are about to see in the coming age, in the coming days, are going to be in nations that you would never have thought would generate great revival, because they will receive the word of the Lord, because God has given us fertile soil to plant the seed of the kingdom of God. And he is growing up out of all the earth. For the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. The presence of the Lord is spreading throughout the earth through believers in a way that you would never have imagined it to be so. Because we become so fixated on having to leave because we're in trouble instead of being able to stand because God is with us. Being a representative of who we are called to be in the earth. If God wanted you home, he'd take you home. And you wouldn't have to wait for a trumpet. He can do it while you're asleep. But he left you here because you're the planting of the Lord. He said, I'm not pulling up the wheat. I'm not moving the wheat. And I'm not moving the thorns. I'll move the thorns at the appointed time. And that time is when my people rise up. When the kingdom of God grows up out of the earth, what will I liken the kingdom of God to? It is like a seed sown in the earth. We keep staring up saying, come, Lord, come, Lord, come, Lord. And Jesus is saying, I'm here, people, I'm here, people, I'm here, people. Save me, save me, save me. You're saved, you're saved, you're saved. Deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. I've delivered you, delivered you, delivered you. God, finish this, clean this mess up. It is finished. John 19:30. It is finished, says the Lord. It is finished. The end of an age has come. This is the beginning of a new season. This is great revival, great restoration, great redemption. The garden is flourishing again in the earth. God is being glorified. We are redeemed by the blood of the everlasting covenant. You are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What are you waiting for? This is the day of revelation. This is the hour of the prophesied season. This is the time of the Lord. This is the coming of our God and of His Christ. This is the day that God has chosen for us to rejoice and be glad in it. We're not only redeemed from the seed we've sown in the past, but we need to remember that we are the planting of His future kingdom. That's who you are. You're sown in the earth to believe God. Your victory isn't going to happen in heaven. Your victory took place on the earth, on the cross at Calvary. That's where your victory took place. God sent out of heaven, into the earth, because this is where He wants to do it. And until we become inclined to be excited and worship and praise God, our songs are going to have no power. They're going to sound good. Our churches are going to fall flat. We're going to walk into massive churches and come out just as hungry as we went in. You're going to go into small churches that are working so hard and go out just as hungry as you came in. Jesus Christ is a revelation. He is a revelation of faith. He is the Spirit of intention. What He does with intention. He does on purpose, and He has done it. He did it. It is finished. John 19:30. It is finished. Now is the prince, the ruler of this world, cast out, He said. And if I be lifted up, this is how it's typically quoted. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. What it actually says, because most people think if we just praise Him, if we just praise Him, then Jesus is going to be lifted up. And we should praise Him, and we should lift up the name of the Lord. But that scripture, that's not what it's saying. What He said is, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Do you know what He was saying? He was saying John 19:30. If I be lifted up from the earth, on the cross, if I'm nailed to the cross, all you have to do is read down just a little bit more. And this He said, describing His death. You don't have to lift Him up in order for Him to be lifted up. He lifted Himself up. You don't have to lift Him up for Him to draw all men unto Himself. He's drawing all men unto Himself because He was lifted up on the cross in the earth. This He said, signifying what death He would die. What death would He die? A finished death. The end to an age of death and the beginning to the resurrection of life. See, when seed comes up out of the ground, it disrupts all the soil around it. And if you were to magnify, or if you were to take a tree and have it in fast forward, grow up out of the earth, it would be like a massive earthquake. If the seed in the earth started growing up all at once and just sprang up out of the earth, it would be like an earthquake. You know who did that? Jesus did that. When he was resurrected from the grave, the earth began to shake and dead bodies, old seed, came out of the ground. Raised up by the glory of God, went into the cities, that must have been a sight, and testified to Jesus Christ. That's what's happening today. Old seed is coming up out of the earth. The kingdom of God is springing up out of the earth, and it's shaking the nations of the earth. There's a great shaking in the earth, and God is Lord of it all. And out of it will come dead, dirty old Christians that finally remembered what seed they are. It is important that we remember who we are. And when he came out of the earth, so did dead bodies. And they went in and they testified of him. Exactly what Jesus said we are supposed to do. We're supposed to be buried with him in the likeness of his death and raised with him through baptism by the glory of the Father. And we are supposed to go into all the world after we have raised up from our deadness and declare the glory of God to all the nations. The word says a crooked heart will not discover good. And a deceptive tongue will fall. Straight up, if you're not right in your heart, you're not going to find any good. And if you're a liar, a deceiver, no good's going to fall your way. You're going to constantly be struggling and contending. So we need to get born again. And it's hard to get born again when it's not your fault. When the devil's doing anything, everything that's going on in your life, it's really hard to get saved because it is not your fault. You said the prayer, you're saved, you're done. No, you're supposed to bear the fruit of the kingdom. He said, if you do not bear the fruit of my kingdom, I'm going to take it away from you and I'm going to give it to someone that will. So I'm telling you here today, it's time to bear the fruit of the kingdom. It starts with spreading the word of peace. Preach the gospel of peace. The acceptable year of the Lord's favor. Joy. And righteousness in the Holy Spirit. God's kingdom, the word says, the scepter of his kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of God's kingdom. He put a scepter in Moses' hand, a shepherd's staff, and he said, now, because you picked it up according to my word, it's no longer your staff. This is the staff of God. God has placed the staff in your hands. All you have to do is remember and act on that memory. The wonderful thing about predestination is God never determined you to do the things that you've done, but he doesn't remember you as a failure, either in the beginning or in the end. See, Jesus, he is past, present, and future. I am he which was, which is, which is to come. I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus is a triad of all time, that which was, that which is, and that which is to come. And in the past, in the present, and in the future, he is sinless. So we are in Christ. So your past, your present, and your future, through Christ, you are sinless. Past, present, future. He has sanctified you. So when God looks at you, he doesn't look at you as you may fail or I know you're going to fail. He doesn't see you that way. He can know all things. It's not the foreknowledge of God knowing that you make a mistake. It's the knowledge in the beginning. See, predestination isn't about the past. I mean, it isn't about the future. It's about the beginning. In the beginning, before you were, he foreordained you to be conformed to the image of his Son. Before you did anything right or wrong, you are conformed to the image of the Son of God. It is a gift, and all you have to do is remember that promise and act as though it is true, and that's what your faith says you because it is. This is the truth about God. When a seed falls into the ground, it loses its identity. Your old identity is not a part of who you were. That's a part of your mistake. That's a part of a failed identity. That's not really who you are. You were deceived, you were lied to, and it failed because only God destines us to his glory. You know, destination, the predestination will of God is that all should be saved. And you know how you know? Because when you sin, you immediately begin to die. You first start to die in your mind. Why? You weren't created to be separated from the knowledge of God. You were created to acknowledge Him and to glorify Him and to hear Him and to know Him and to see Him and to sense Him. You should know that He's standing right beside you, that He's literally on the inside of you, speaking out of you. You should talk to yourself so much until you can't turn a corner without feeling like you're going to bump into Him. You should feel His hand on your shoulder. You should feel His light on your path. You should know that He's directing every single step. Your steps are ordered of the Lord, and you know it because you're paying attention to instruction. He is not anywhere in the distance. It is not within the nature of God to be absent. It is only in the nature of God to be present. God doesn't have two perspectives. He has one. He is called holy, which means He remains the same. He has one perspective, and it's holiness and righteousness and love and goodness and mercy and grace. He is almighty, all power, all present, all the time, every place. He is no place absent. He is everywhere present. And we need to worship Him and talk to Him as He is. When we see Him, we will be like Him. For we will see Him as He is. Now, if anyone be in Christ, his past is non-existent. The signature of sin no longer exists for you. You have no sin nature with your signature attached to it. Because the Word says, because of sin, when Christ came, the body died. Your sin identity, the body of that sinner, is no longer in existence. He cannot testify against you. There is no evidence in God's eyes that you as a sinner ever existed. He removed the evidence, so you are not guilty. So it's time we stopped acting like we are. And start declaring His righteousness. Not arrogance. But live the life that He said. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave Himself for me. In order to change, you're going to have to lay down your past. Because two identities cannot exist in the same person. Paul called it double-mindedness, and he said, you can't receive anything from God. If God hadn't predestined everyone to be conformed to the image of His Son and to walk in His righteousness, then those that walk in unrighteousness and disobey God when they come before Him, if you were not predestined, if everyone were not predestined, because God knows everyone the Word says that He called to everyone. Whom He called, He foreknew. Who did He know? Everybody. If you were not predestined to know and do the will of God, you can say, well, a lot of people won't. I'm not saying what a lot of people will or won't do. I'm saying what predestination is God's way of seeing you according to His will. And if He hadn't predestined everybody according to His will, He wouldn't say to those that come to Him in the day of judgment in disobedience, He couldn't say, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, He knows everyone. He knows you according to His will. That's the grace and the love and the mercy of God. He only sees you as He created you to be, and that's why He sent Christ. So when He looks at you and you have come to Christ, that's all He sees. All He sees is the righteousness of God in Christ. He's not seeing you fail in the future. He's seeing you succeed. Take on the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. Surrender yourself to the will of the Father and be born again. I see businessmen, people, pastors, preachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, businessmen, businesswomen all over the world that become more priestly. There's more of an aura of God's priesthood on their lives than business, than dominant rule. And this priesthood of God reigns and rules because it's just like in the day of Moses, the presence of the Lord, the cloud of God comes and just covers the tent of meetings. God was everywhere present, but he would say, come before me, come with a sanctified mind, and I'll meet with you there, and I'll speak with you there. Time to come to the tent of meetings. Time to come into the sanctuary of God. God thought so highly about this seed that he has sown that he said, the word says, your throne, O God, is an eternal throne, an everlasting throne, forever and ever and ever. And then where did he seat you? Seated on his right hand. And what did he say about his throne and his kingdom? Kingdom of God is within you. And then what did he say? He said, I'm going to come into you and I'm going to make you my kingdom and my home and my dwelling place. I will be your God and you will be my people. I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, therefore, every one of you in the name of Jesus and be baptized in the identity, the image of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and bear witness and testimony to who Christ in you is, which is the hope of glory. And this is the greatest season of your life. Give the Lord praise today. I'm going to call it this, I see a mass production of heaven in the earth, as if God had written, which he has, a play. But this is real. And I see a mass production in the earth. I see people being saved by the multitudes. I see the promise to Abraham rising up out of the earth today. Your seed will be so many. And he wasn't just talking about a lot of bodies. The word makes that clear. These are seeds that are raised up in Christ. These are these whom the Lord literally planted himself in the earth. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. In the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. What does the seed do? It turns into what it came from. It's time to die to yourself if you're serious. If you're serious, if you're serious, if you're not just coming to church for conscience sake, if you're serious, it's time to die to yourself, because you're an illusion if you don't. You're a lie. You're a deception. You don't know who you are. You're a seed that won't die. And all you look like is a nothing. A maybe could be someday. If you don't do it today, you probably never will. When you hear the word of the Lord and you don't respond to it, is his word ever going to be any different, any more, any greater? Is his word about a season and a time? He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He which was, is, and is to come. He is the Lord Almighty, and he's coming into his body, and he's going to be glorified in the earth exactly where he planted himself. And he raised up from the dead. Seed is coming out of the earth now, and it's going to disrupt the world in ways you hadn't imagined or ways you'd only been dreaming about. God is going to shake the very foundation of the nations of the earth. Names will change. Nations will change. Identities will change. Leadership will change. Government will change. Democracy. Theocracy. Policies. Politics, economics, economy, intelligence. The earth is about to take on a different form. The earth is about to take on a different shape. And instead of fearing it, be a part of it. You are the shaking that God is going to do in the earth. because you are the seed of his kingdom. And he declared, as my kingdom erupts out of the earth, the nations are going to be shaken. The harvest is going to come. The wheat will be divided from the tares. And God will do it all. And all he requires is that we grow up in the kingdom that he has planted us in, and that we give him the honor and the glory to his name. And we declare, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who greater is he that is in the world greater is he that is in you who are in the world than that which is of the world. Greater is he that is in you in the world than that which is worldly. Typically, I don't say this, but this is the end of an age. In closing, he said, you are the salt of the earth. When you put salt, and you wouldn't think so because of its bitter taste, but when you put salt on sweet things, it subdues the bitterness and brings out the best of flavors. Does it on meat, it does it on pretty much everything. We're not here to terrify people. We're here to preach the year of the Lord's favor. We're here to preach good news. We're here to preach what God wants us to see. His glory manifest in the earth. His kingdom raised up. People rejoicing. Health and strength coming into the world. Some diseases are just going to cease to exist that you've lived with for years. The glory of God is going to yield his treasures and his mysteries. You're the salt of the earth. We are here to bring flavor to the nations of the earth. We're here to bring out the sweetness. We're here to bring out taste and see the Lord is good. We are the salt of the earth. And he says, and if the salt loses its savor, how am I going to bring the flavor out? What will I use? It's then good for nothing to be cast out and trodden under the feet of people. We're here to subdue the bitterness and here to bring forth the sweet, the savory, the good, and the goodness of God. He said, you're the light of the world. I prophesy to you these words. The light has come. And the darkness will separate. Things that have been hidden for generations will be revealed. These hidden dens of iniquity will be exposed. Government plots will be exposed. They will find no place to hide. Because the kingdom of God is rising up. Instead of running for cover, you need to run out into the middle of the earth and the fields and say, Lord, come and bear witness to your harvest. Let your glory be revealed in the earth. God said he would expose. He said everything that is hidden to be exposed, and nothing that is hidden will be remain covered. Everything that is hidden will come to light. Everything that is hidden will be exposed. And the wonderful thing about that is when it is exposed, we will discern wisely. But he said, you are the light of the world. And he said the hidden mysteries and treasures of his kingdom would be revealed by the very same light. So when darkness is seen for the lie and deception that it is, when the tares are revealed for what they are, as the righteousness of God rises up out of the earth, which earth you are, which seeds and planting you are, God will also expose the treasures and the mysteries of his kingdom. Those that had died in years prior will not die from the same disease. God will heal them. It will be as though old age has become a thing not to fear, but a thing desired. Because in the strength of old age is wisdom and revelation and Christ manifest. It is not a time for dying. It is a time of wisdom. It is a time of insight. It is a time of understanding. We will bear witness and testimony. We will run and not be weary, walk and not faint. The Lord will renew your years. He will renew your strength. He will bear witness of His resurrection power, of His stripes that He bore for you. Your bodies will recover. God will be glorified. As we come into His presence, He will heal, strengthen, renew, and make alive. Because in His kingdom is power and glory forever. You will change. Change your mind. Change. Change your mind. Change the time. Change the time. And time stops telling you. You tell time, this is the time it is. It is the time of the Lord. It is the time of the seed. It is the time of the harvest. It is a time, a prediction by the Spirit of the Lord. This is what shall come to pass. And I looked and saw a great mighty number of people glorifying and worshiping the Lord. And I see the kingdom of God and of Christ. And I see the kingdoms of men and women becoming the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, as the Lord has destined from the beginning of time. Fear not, for the Lord your God is greatly with you today. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house. Remember this. Some of the corporate world, some leaders and those that are coming into leadership. It's a different leadership. The age we're coming to, I'm telling you, hear me, it is a different leadership than you think. It is going to be one of righteousness. The end of an age has come. The beginning of a new is rising out of the earth. It is breaking earth. And the tenderness of these plants, if you've ever seen a plant and watched it, as it begins to mature and grow, it's so soft and tender, it couldn't possibly break earth the way it does. But it does because it remembers the promise. It remembers the image from which it came. And the first thing it does when it breaks earth is it reaches for the light. It's the first thing you should do when you wake up in the morning. Realize you just broke earth and you reach for the light. And then it is no longer dependent on the stored energy that it had in the shell. It's left its old identity behind, and now it's truly coming into itself, who it really is. For strength and peace and joy, and all its strength and energy comes from the Father and the soil in which He has planted it. So are we. You are the planting of the Lord's. You are the planting of God, the trees of righteousness. And this generation is going to remain in strength and power and see the glory of God manifest. This is that season. God, we give you praise. We thank you for the greatness of your word. Thank you for the volume of your authority and your will and your presence and your power. They'll see you coming. Take this corporately. They'll see you coming. They'll hear you're coming. And just as they did as they were wandering, the exile, wandering through the wilderness, they're going to hear you're coming. And they're going to say, they're going to give it to them anyway. We might as well leave. We're either going to have to leave or we're going to have to serve the God they serve. You won't have to contend for position or power or fame. You will give your fame to the Lord. God will be glorified. He will receive the glory and the honor. And God will bring honor and favor. And those things, those massive arenas of influence throughout the corporate and business world, we transform more into a priesthood. They will say, just as they did with the children of Israel, they're coming. We might as well give it to them as a gift, because they're going to receive it anyway. They're going to give it to them anyway. They're going to give it to them anyway. God didn't want you confident in what you stored up. He didn't want you confident in what was stored up for you. He wanted you to bear the fruit of your prosperity. Just as the children of Israel and the different tribes came at one time and said, "Give us this land. Give us this land." And he said, if you will obey the Lord and do as the Lord has commanded, if you will honor his word, he will give you this land and it will be yours. And you and your children and your children's children will grow up in it. And the enemies will flee from you. The enemies of lust and pride and hatred and strife and bitterness and fear, sickness and disease, poverty and uncertainty will flee from you. And you will walk in confidence of the Lord. And the Lord will look to his earth and he will say, look and see the harvest that I have planted, the promise that I have given to Abraham. The seed has grown up in the earth and God is being glorified from sea to shore, from heaven to earth. Look and see, the heavens have united with the earth which God has sown from the heavens. And they have become one in the unity. And I saw a new heaven and I saw a new earth. And the throne of God was in the midst of them. And they glorified and worshiped him. This is the beginning of that age. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. This is the greatest season of your lives. Give the Lord praise in the house.